Brings us to agenda item number nine, Jennings Burton.
Okay. Keep getting faster going through these because they're pretty similar. This application is an application from Mr. Jennings Burton Jr., Wilmore D. Hogg, and Donna Melzer as co-applicants to lease approximately 41 acres, also in the Warwick River, in the city of Newport News. And again, this application is within an area that's currently closed for the direct harvest, market harvest of shellfish. So, again, direct your attention to the aerial photograph with the leases superimposed. We are still in the Warwick River. We have now gone upstream from the previous application, which is to the south off the screen. And this application is located in this area where the Warwick River narrows considerably and stays pretty narrow the rest of the way up. It wraps around this existing lease on both sides and extends down to the south to other existing leases in the Warwick River. Again, as you can see by the diagonal hatch line, this entire area of the Warwick River is currently closed to the direct market of shellfish, but you could relay out of this area if you have an existing lease through the proper permitting process. Again, as I noted previously, but to put on record, with this application, the commission previously adopted a regulation that we no longer accept applications in these restricted classification waters back in March of this year. And any existing applications that we already had accepted at that point, we indicated we would handle on a case-by-case basis and bring to the commission with a recommendation on whether it was in the best interest of the state. The same reasons apply to this as the previous two applications. Brewstock, the reason for the regulation change and the reason to staff cannot support leasing this application is that these areas should and may remain as broodstock areas, the risk to public health, and the increased manpower required by our Marine Police to administer the relaying program. Unless you want me to go in more detail, the same thing I've said on the previous ones, I can probably skip right to the summary and recommendation. Which
please get into the details and okay. Then move on to the staff recommendation.
So in light of the recent commission action, we do have at the staff level, well, let me go back and indicate that the applicant on this application on the use plan questionnaire did indicate that the application would be used for traditional shelling of the bottom and to cultivate shellfish. They also did indicate that there would be planting of spat or seed on the bottom. Again, however, with the lack of readily available shell stock in the Commonwealth currently and the lack of seed oysters, staff questions whether any reasonable business plan would include planting of shell or seed in such restricted waters, particularly if the applicant has other grounds in clean waters, which Mr. Jennings and Ms. Melzer do have considerable amount of ground in both clean and restricted waters already. So in light of the recent commission action concerning acceptance of new applications within these areas and the rationale for that decision, we do have reservations about recommending leasing of such pending applications for the reasons previously stated. Again, we did not survey this area in order to not waste taxpayer money unless the commission deems that this area should go forward. If so, we would conduct a survey. And that could result in an objection. We would attempt to resolve that. If resolvable or not protested and the commission deems this area leasable, it could be administratively assigned after the waiting period of the survey. If it's protested, if you deem to move forward and it's surveyed and it's protested, and we can't resolve it, we would bring it back to the commission. Again, we don't think that would probably be likely. This particular area, there's not really any houses in this part of the Warwick River. It's a lot of marsh adjacent to this application. So in summary and recommendation, while we do understand the applicant did apply for the application before the recent change in accepting applications, we do deem it not in the best interest of the Commonwealth. pursuant to the Code of Virginia 28.2607 to lease the area, and we do recommend denial of the entire application. A portion of this to the southern part of this application was leased before, but I don't believe there's ever been a, the ground's ever been leased that wraps around that other lease that's there. Again, should the commission deem it's in the interest of the Commonwealth to lease the area, we'd proceed with submitting the application, and if no protest, we'd administratively sign it. If protested, we'd attempt to resolve the protest, and if not resolved, we'd be brought back before the commission. And I will note on all of these pending ones, because it was raised on the previous one, that there was no staff agenda to hold these up. We received 340-some applications last year, and while they've slowed down slightly in the last two or three weeks, we've been receiving this year about an average of one application per day, which would put us close to the same level as last year, and that's an unprecedented number of applications. You know, we've almost never had over 300 applications in any year in the past that I can find records of, and we are just backlogged. We are considerably backlogged in getting the applications done. So almost everyone is waiting 6 to 9 months. Code does say after 60 days I can assign it to a surveyor of the notice, and 30 days after it's surveyed it can be assigned if there's no protest. So the minimum, bare minimum, is 90 days, and you've got to factor in mailing the ad and getting the plat done and approved. So, you know, typically it's a 3 to 4 month process if we were caught up, and we're not. So we're still backlogged, and that is the latest getting all these surveyed in a timely manner as we'd like to. But I just wanted to make that note. We do recommend denial of the entire lease application. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions from the commission. Thank you, Mr. Stagg. Mr. Skiles? Could you tell us a bit more about how long this has been restricted water here and why it's restricted and the health ramifications and the risk to the industry if these made it to market and there was an issue?
Okay, this particular area has been closed continuously since at least 1962 in our record review. It has had water quality problems. It still wouldn't meet a standard, but it also has the sewage treatment plant outfall downstream, so it has both issues from the downstream sewage treatment plant outfall and what's coming from upstream, so that it wouldn't meet a water quality standard whether the outfall had were removed or not. All of these issues are related to sewage-borne pathogens, so norovirus being one of the bigger ones, but there are a number of others, both the viral and bacterial, that can make people ill and are the basis for these closures. So they represent an elevated risk to the public, and it would be devastating to the public and to the industry if we were to have an outbreak associated with these.
Thank you, Mr. Skiles. Questions from the commission? Thank you, sir. Is the applicant present?
Of course.
Please come forward, ma'am.
And I have another question for the health department, ma'am.
Okay.
Okay. In relaying oysters in the state of Virginia,
just keep
how many people have been hurt or injured by a virus for relayed oysters only?
In my 28 years or so in this program, we haven't had an outbreak associated with a sewage-borne pathogen. So when it comes to relaying, we haven't had one in at least that long.
Correct.
Okay.
I once again want you to turn your books open to the support activities of Article 2 of our Constitution. The Virginia Marine Police law enforcement responsibilities, qualifications, and oath. Under number A of number 3, enforcing health laws pertaining to the harvesting of seafood from condemned areas. The reason that's in there is so that we can utilize that resource. I'd also like you to look at the fact that, once again, your responsibility is to maintain that resource and take care of it. Your responsibility is not to open or close that area. And that's stated in 28.2.806. The sole responsibility is the State Health Commissioner to establish the standards. The State Health Commissioner may establish and change standards, examinations, analysis, and inspections which control the taking and marketing from a health standpoint of crustaceans, finfish, and shellfish. He shall be the sole judge of whether or not such crustacean, finfish, or shellfish are sanitary and fit for market. That is not your responsibilities. Your responsibility is the resource of the Commonwealth of Virginia. And as such, once again, I'm going to ask that this ground be granted to me. It is important to me. The only time that I can move oysters is when the public ground is open. I need private ground that I can take oysters from in order to replenish the grounds that I do have. You're asking me to be a good steward of these grounds. Give me something to work with. Any questions?
Any questions from the commission?
Once again, I do not have any tickets, none, for oystering whatsoever. I do not have a ticket. I am not somebody who is going to be a bad steward of my crustaceans. I want them to survive. I want my market.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to be heard on this matter, this application, either pro or con? Please come forward, sir. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
Joseph Patrick Francis McGuire III. As I understand, the issue is not whether or not these should be maintained, but the fact that a neglect of harvesting and relaying these oysters will in time create an even larger health risk that has the potential to bleed out into other areas. As the shellfish build up on top of each other, they will eventually rise out of the water, die, create a huge amount of bacteria that will close further ground.
Is that a question?
That is a statement. It is. My question to you is, how can we let that happen if it is the commission's job to protect these resources? What is being established today will create a larger problem and shrink the amount of ground that can be used by watermen over time. It has long-term ramifications. And my question is, how can that be allowed to happen if we are supposed to wisely manage this?
Do you have some other comments you wish to make?
No, sir.
Okay. Any questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine.
Sir.
Mr. McGuire.
Yes, sir.
I had a question. The oysters that may or may not be in these areas, I understand from the woman's comments before that they might be large. Do you think they contribute to any of the recruitment that may occur in these areas?
Recruitment?
Spat settlement, future, you know, generations of oysters. Do you think these, you know, are providing broodstock, you know, that they're the spawning broodstock for maybe some of the settlement that occurs maybe further downriver or perhaps in open areas?
Perhaps, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the commission? Yeah, if you want to come forward, you have additional comments to make, that'd be fine.
I'm not so positive that they're the broodstock in that area because they are right near the broodstock, the actual seed areas, which you guys have. The Marine Resource Commission has areas that have the broodstock. But these oysters are needed to move because if we move them to our areas and wait 60 days, and they can take and spread apart, and we can utilize it. And no, I'm not saying that it's just the spat that I'm wanting. I want the oysters in order to pay for the relay. I want to take those large oysters, but what I leave behind can cause more spat in the areas that I'm moving them to.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions from the commission? Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to be heard on this application, either pro or con? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed, and the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Zedrin.
In reference to this application, I think we're faced with the same issues. And as a commissioner sitting right here, I think my job is to protect the people of the Commonwealth. And we have resources that we're looking at. We have health agencies. We have other agencies out there that are using their expertise to give us advice on how to protect the people of the Commonwealth of this Commonwealth of Virginia. And I think that's the most important thing in the world, is to make sure that we properly manage these so that we don't infect the people of this Commonwealth or any people of any other place for that matters. And I think, that we need to look. We've already determined, and we heard from the health department, that these areas have that. And the use plan that the applicants submitted said, well, we're going to directly harvest those. So they're going to harvest them and sell them. And so I don't think that's in the best interest of the people of the Commonwealth. And I would say that we need to be concerned about these health risks. We need to be concerned about the industry. Because, if we grant a lease like this and those oysters cause the problem, the whole industry, even in the good areas, is gone. So for that reason, I think we ought to accept staff recommendation.
Mr. Neal.
I guess I have questions for legal. I've got questions for our oyster expert, who I see sitting back there. And I guess I have questions for staff. How many of these do we have in the pipeline? I mean, we already decided last month we're not leasing any more. We're not leasing any more like this. So how many of these do we already have in the pipeline of these applications?
I think we probably have approximately 30 or so.
And so I guess my question is, are we going to hear the same thing 30 times, or can we direct staff, this is what we're doing with these, and be done with all 30 of them?
I think Matt needs to answer that question.
Well, I think the obviously the easier course would be to hear them all, but or not easier, but simplest, or from legal standpoint, simplest. But I suppose you could say issue essentially a guidance document to staff saying we believe that any lease pending in these polluted waters is not in the public interest.
We've already made that decision. We did that last month, and so, right. So now we're talking about, so that's already been made.
Well, that's the decisional basis for denying the application. Is essentially the standard for either granting or denying is you have to abide by all, it has to satisfy all legal requirements, and it has to be in the public interest, according to your discretion. So, basically the new regulation says from this point forward we're not leasing any ground, but that doesn't dispose of the applications that were in effect prior to the adoption of the regulation. So what you can do is say the commission views these sorts of applications as not being in the public interest, so staff deny them. And obviously that would lead to people, I imagine you would still get some hearings from people who want the commission to make the call, because there is an appeal right and a right to a formal hearing. So it may not end up disposing of a lot of work, but it is an option available to you.
Can I ask Council a question?
Yes, Mr. Zucker.
Could we also put, if that was the decision of the board here, is that all the advertising costs be refunded to the applicant? Could we do that as well?
I believe so. I mean, it's the longstanding practice of the commission. I understand that there's been no objection to it before. So I believe you do have that authority, yes.
Yeah, other than the $25 application fee.
Right.
And let me just add that two things. These were the first cases that we brought to you. These are the sort of the test cases to see whether the commission might want to take this action of adopting some type of policy. I do anticipate that, based on already what you've done and what looks like you're heading to do maybe with this one, that number I quoted, the 30-some, will shrink. I think some people will. And my plan after today was, should all these be denied, was to write to the pending ones and indicate, we've heard some very similar cases. The commission has acted on those, and the staff cannot support the recommendation to lease those areas, do you wish to continue pursuing them? And I don't have a crystal ball, but I foresaw that some people would probably just acquiesce. I think that's tied now to the fact you've refunded the money or going to refund the money on some. So I don't think people would want to give up their right to a hearing if they thought they needed to have the hearing in order to get their money back for their ad. So I understand that conundrum that, you know, I think what Matt told you is spot on. You know, if you're going to adopt a policy, I mean, my view from staff is it ought to be fair to everyone that's in this situation. And we do them on a case-by-case basis or something else.
I would love to do this and hopefully save us time long run. And then I do still have a question for our resident oyster scientist.
Okay, well, before we move on to Dr. Wesson here, what I think we should do in the interest of fairness to the cases that are before us today is to hear them. And if it all turns out and the commission's decided that as a policy we will no longer take these pending applications for a hearing, staff is authorized to deny them and to refund their advertising costs, that will happen, and then the applicants can appeal to the commission for a hearing on their specific cases. Maybe that will set the policy, set the process too, give them their money back, and still the folks that want the commission to hear their case particularly would have the right to do so. I think that could be an option. Mr. Ballard, did I see your hand up?
I was going to concur with what you were basically saying, that let's get through these and we can evaluate next meeting whether we need to make a policy document going forward.
Or we can evaluate it after we've concluded discussions of these particular leases. I mean, we can do that as well. Mr. Erskine?
I'd only comment that Mr. Parker had kind of a different situation, and if there were similar applicants, you know, he had an area that I believe we granted 10.6 acres that were actually open. So I'd be concerned about an applicant like that.
That's why we brought that one first, because it was a little little bit different. Most of the ones we're going to bring to you are going to be like these. They're going to be entirely within restricted areas.
Mr. Zedra.
I'd like to thank the staff for you said something that you'd like to treat everyone equal, and I think that's very important, and I'd like to commend you and your staff on that.
Mr. Veal, you want to hear from Dr. Wesson?
Yes.
Dr. Wesson, were you sworn in earlier?
Yes, I was.
Thank you.
Good morning. You're going to hear more about this this afternoon as we talk about some of our policies for Reland, but the thing to keep in mind is how much this industry has grown in the past, especially the past 4 or 5 years. And we're to the point that, you know, our 500,000 bushel harvest and the percent coming from Relay is less than 0.5% of that harvest. The industry is spending a bigger part of their time in the warm water times of the year when we have very restricted ways that they have to do the harvesting. We get curfews and all that stuff. And these relay areas are a burden because you're trying to protect the 99.5% harvest from the 0.5% harvest. And what we are seeing is that in the past several years, as there's been this growth, there's also been a gold rush for leases. And the general gold rush is slash and burn. It's even though the code specifically says that leases are for the propagation, seed and shell of oysters, generally these big areas that are being taken up are to take away the what's there, and they don't come back and do any seed or shell. And it's in Benny and my career, you know, we were trying to think, have we ever seen anybody put seed or shell into a condemned area where you are, you know, you're kind of writing yourself off that you're going to have to pay more for your oysters to start with. So our thoughts on this is that you're not going to go into a condemned area and do anything but take. And what we are seeing in the past several years is that we had a great spat set in 2010. We had a great spat set in 2012. But in 11, 13, and 14, we did not have that great spat set. And, you know, hopefully we're going to see a wonderful one this year, and we will pop back out of it. But we know that the harvest is going to go down now because we've not had great sets. And so any bit of brood stock that we can protect is the future of the whole industry. And if you have to pick something that we know these big oysters are up in these condemned areas that remained, and if those guys can help us in the spawning situation, then they are benefiting the entire industry more than picking them up and moving. And there is no, I wish we saw oysters coming out of the water from staying in an area. We just don't see that. I mean, the oysters are under constant pressure. These areas that we're talking about here are ephemeral to start with because they, if you get a freshet, they all get killed from that. So they're here some years and not here others. But it's important to protect these broodstock over and above. I mean, we have the public health issue that's real. We have law enforcement that's stressed to keep up with a growing industry to watch for poaching. But these broodstock are important, and they benefit the entire industry. So, and in this river, you know, we have the most ready source of seed oysters that you could, and the cheapest that you could possibly get. I mean, they're right out on public ground. You can move seed oysters to your private ground and reharvest. And it's the way to do propagation on clean bottom, more so than actually going up into virgin territory and taking old oysters out of it and moving them down for the quick harvest for that broodstock that's there. Any other questions?
Yes, sir. Yeah, actually, you've answered. I guess I kind of want to reiterate that. My main questions were, and you've gone through this in the previous months, is there an advantage to the overall oyster population, a potential advantage of leaving some of these areas alone?
Absolutely.
And is there a disadvantage to the oyster population by leaving these areas alone? Are they going to kill each other and
no,
die off?
No, they're not going to kill each other. Before man was around, oysters were doing fine.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Any other questions of Dr. Wesson?
Thank you.
Ms. Melzer, I'll reopen this if you have anything else to add. There's been expanded testimony here. Is there anything else you'd like to say on this application of this matter? In which case, please come forward.
Constitutionally, you're taking the mindset that you are the health department, and you're not. Your job is to protect this resource. It is true, the spat in the last 3 years has been very low. That means that commercial watermen have to find other places to get their oysters to take and replant their grounds. My problem is that I'm 54 years old. I'm not a baby. My husband's not a baby. We both have arthritis. Relaying during the winter from us from public ground is almost impossible. My husband couldn't tongue an oyster right now if he wanted to. He's just getting too old to stand on the sideboard, and his body won't let him. I can't ride on it, so therefore we have to do ourselves during the private ground is the way we have to go so that we can relate into off months. I don't think you understand. The man said there's not been an outbreak since 1961. He's never had one. Based upon the way that we're relaying them now. There's never been anything that has caused a problem. And there's not going to be as long as people are good stewards. And I've proven myself, my husband's been a waterman his entire life. He has moved oysters his entire life. That's all he knows. And we are good stewards, and I think it's unfair. And I can tell you that you will see me appealing this if I lose. Because I will fight for this resource to maintain itself and be open. I applied for these before you closed these in May. I applied for these in July. I was told in October that they were going to be held up. I requested in October and September for all of my public, my private grounds that I applied for that were polluted to come before the board. I was told they couldn't do it in November, they couldn't do it in December, they couldn't do it in January. They never came before you until today.
after you voted last month. How come that got put before? That's my right to petition, and I lost it. And I have the papers that show that I requested to come before you voted last month. And I'm sorry that it's unfair, but it is unfair, and this is not over with. I cannot say with all good faith that this ground is not condemned, but this board is condemning it. This ground is polluted, and the polluted oysters can be moved and made a good resource legally with no health hazards. According to the health department, there's not been one. They've done this since 1961. And the sole decision of condemnation is the health department's, not the Virginia Marine Resource Commission. May God be with you when you think about this, because each and every one of you took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Virginia, which states this is a resource, and your job is to manage our resources in the best effort. And the best effort is to make this resource renewable and reusable. We're watermen. We're losing everything else in this whole world. Our fish, our everything, because people sit on a board and they make a decision without being out there every day. I'm out there every day. Everybody says, how does Billy Melzer know where these oysters are when he applies for these oyster grounds? Because we set nets. We set pods. We're out there every day, 7 days a week. Look at my reports. I'm here. If I'm not here, I'm trapping. If I'm not trapping, I'm turtling. I live off the resources. I know what's out there. When Game and Inland Fisheries can't find something, they call us because they know we're out there every day. And it's important to me. This is my resource, and I live off of it. That's why I'm here, because these grounds might not mean much to you, but I applied for them in order to make my living. I want my children and my grandchildren to have a resource that's renewable. If you choose to close these grounds, you might as well just make them public and make it just take them all. Don't let nobody use nothing, because they shouldn't be able to. If that's your choice, so do it.
Mr. Erskine.
Ma'am, yes. I appreciate your comments, and this is a difficult position that we're in, and we take this pretty seriously. We do have a responsibility to properly and effectively manage these marine resources. We try and do the best job that we possibly can. It's not easy making decisions, you know, up here for the resource and for the Commonwealth. So we don't take this lightly, and we have devoted several hours to this today. And in the future, we'll devote more hours to it. So it's as important to us as it is to you, ma'am. So it's as important to us as it is to you. We may not be out there every day, but it still doesn't mean that it's not important to us. And we don't question your relaying activity. This currently is not about relaying. This is about condemned oyster grounds.
But, sir, and the Constitution states that that's not your decision. These are polluted grounds. The sole discretion of the closure of a polluted ground is of the health department. The health department says these can be relayed.
And we're not questioning the health department today. We're not questioning the relay activity.
Hold on, ma'am, please. We're not going to get into any argument with a commission member. If Mr. Erskine has something to say, we're going to let him say it. If you have something to add to that, we'll do that briefly, and then we'll move on.
So I only want to say that, you know, we take this seriously as you do, and our relaying activity is important to us. It may be a small fraction of the overall harvest, but it's still important. So we're not questioning your activity in your track record or the industry's track record with relaying. This is a difficult decision that we have, and we take it very seriously.
But my question is, Mr. Zedrin Sr., the only reason that you're voting against this is because you feel it's a health hazard. Is that correct?
Okay, we're not going to get questioning back and forth. The commission asked the questions here. We've already had public testimony. I gave you another shot at yet more public testimony. When matters before the commission here, we're not going to have question and answer period here from you.
That's fine.
Okay. Do you have anything else about this application in particular? Thank you, ma'am. Matters before the commission. Mr. Ballard.
Like Mr. Erskine said, I believe this is a very difficult issue, but in my mind, we debated this issue in the March meeting, came to a consensus on what it should be. Right now, what we're debating is whether we should approve this application going against what we decided back in March, simply because it was filed before that decision was made. And in my mind, the equitable thing to do, weighing the applicant and the Commonwealth's interest, is to approve the staff recommendation with an addendum that all fees other than the application fee be refunded.
Second.
That's a motion by Mr. Ballard and a second by Mr. Zebra. Further discussion? Let me just say for the record here, I find that the shellfish that are in this application, these other applications, provide substantial broodstock services that benefit the industry as a whole here. That if they were accidentally taken to market directly here without deparation here, it would be a health hazard to human health and would have a corresponding impact negatively to the entire oyster industry. And that, as Dr. Wesson had put it earlier, we have lots of additional harvests than previous years. We have additional theft issues that the Marine Police are tasked to handle, and that an expanded relaying system here is a detriment to the manpower available here. So to that regard, I also agree with the motion and the second. On the record?
All those in favor?
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye. The motion passes unanimously.